Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We are ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you. Let's commence on this week's episode, How to Be Your True Self in a Society That Worships Fakeness. In a blink of an eye, we are wrapping up season 3, Shaping Your Social Self. We explored topics such as the root of confidence, our defense mechanism, our crave for understanding, how to listen, or even our communication style. Our relationship between our true self and the society is very, very blurred. It's our everyday decision on how we present ourselves. You want to be true to yourself, not a slavish follower of social expectations. We want to live our best life, pursuing our particular desires rather than falling in line with whatever everyone else thinks happiness requires. But authenticity is a slippery thing. Although most people would define authenticity as acting in accordance with your own set of values and qualities, research has shown that people feel most authentic when they conform to a particular set of socially approved qualities, such as being extroverted, emotionally stable, conscientious, intellectual, and agreeable. So how exactly will we know if we are being truly authentic, and how exactly do we make the daily decision of acting as our true self or acting to our role in the society? I'm your host, Vivian, and with me today are Mel and Rita. Hi, ladies.
Hi.
Hello.
So how do you guys define authenticity or being authentic?
To me, being authentic is being true to yourself. In other words, if you are inauthentic, you are trying to be someone else. You're hiding and suppressing some of your traits for various reasons. Maybe you don't like them, you think they are not appealing, and you're just trying to create another version of you and live that.
So it's like inventing Anna.
Exactly, exactly.
How about you, Mel?
I would say it's knowing and accepting all sides of myself. So it could be healthy traits of mine, but it could also be more like the ugly side, for example, anger or uncomfortable feelings of mine, and knowing that it's also okay. I guess it's just owning who I am.
How do you do that? How do you accept? It's easier said than done, obviously, but do you have like an example where there's a trait of yours that you don't particularly like? And what's the process into like accepting it?
It must have been a couple of scenarios when I realized that if you can accept some traits of yours that you previously think that, oh, you know, it's not the best trait because you're comparing yourself with other people. So for example, anger. A few months ago when I started accepting that I felt angry or I felt frustrated, letting go of the harshness that you put on yourself, being like, no, this is a bad trait. If you let go of that thought, I liked that feeling after, a feeling that there wasn't much pressure of, you know, feeling bad about that.
Yeah, liberated.
That's when I started shifting my mindset. I think it's letting go of that own judgment of mine.
It's almost like being overly critical on yourself.
I would say it's you building a wall of not accepting that it's okay to feel angry.
And also it's like a societal education to tell you that, oh, being angry is like you being out of control. So having a label of it's a negative emotion. But actually, when you grow older, you know that all emotions are equally valid and important, and it's telling you something. So by removing that kind of stigma or label, it will be helpful for you to move towards your authentic self. And I do think we are social animals, right? We interact with people. Those kind of environment do shape us as well. So I think there is a constant tug of war between the adaptive self and an authentic self. So adaptive self is just like you trying to mold your authentic self and what you believe and portray it in different ways to fit in different social settings. But sometimes, to a certain extent, you might mold it too far and lost yourself at some point. You have to constantly evaluate and look at these two selves and see whether you have lost grip of that authentic self.
You know, it's very interesting. More often than not recently,
I feel inauthentic, but I know that, or you guys tell me that I am authentic, actually, to be aware of these kind of things. So one example is like the company that I work for right now, because of recent COVID situations, we have certain measures that we have to execute. Deep, deep down, I don't agree with those policies. And I have to be the executor to launch it and make sure, you know, everything is in place. And I feel very inauthentic. I feel like I'm doing something that I don't believe in. And it made me question whether I'm authentic as a person.
Understanding your belief system and what your core values are already a big step in being your authentic self. And you have the awareness to know that these measures are contradicting to what you believe in. It's a big step. But you know, you are having a role to play, you are having a job, and you're working for them. So it's very hard for you to change anything. I think sometimes you just have to accept that it's so hard for you as a one person to enforce your value, to change a big company as such. But then there are some circumstances that we might be forced to be inauthentic in our behaviors, which might for sure create very uneasy emotion in you.
And I think there's a line between knowing what you think is right versus lying to yourself or actually consciously going against what you think is right. I think that's two different things.
Mel, I'm very interested because you're like one of the most authentic people that I know. How do you make that daily decision into, you know, like what you believe in and your core values? And how do you apply that to your day-to-day behavior? For example, you know that you're not being inauthentic. Maybe the role requires to act a certain way.
The reason being is because obviously I work in a family-run business. So my lifestyle allows me to be more authentic and communicate what I think is right or wrong. Even if I dislike someone, right, how I would still behave politely, but yet staying as authentic as I could, would be that I would still say hi and maybe introduce myself to that person. And then I wouldn't even try to have further conversation with that person. So that's just me, you know, maybe not showing too much warmth.
Do you think me and Melody are relatively more privileged in our career? We do have a safe space to always voice up our opinion and they are respected. But people who are working for big companies, it's actually very hard for them to be very authentic and to go against the rules that is just top down landing on you. Yeah, I do think, you know, try to reiterate your life purpose. What's this job doing for you? What are you getting out of it? And see whether you, you know, could sacrifice that authenticity or discomfort to stay there.
It's healthy to constantly question, like, the role that you're playing.
I do think, as I mentioned earlier, the authentic self and the adaptive self, I do think they have an overlapping zone. So that zone is you having your belief system, but you have to still mold it a bit and to make it socially appropriate or even just fulfill, like what we always say, basic human decency, you know?
But I'm interested, like, have you guys met anybody that's like inauthentic?
I would say it's quite hard to actually judge someone else not knowing how they feel internally. I think it would be unfair. So I don't think I have the power to judge if I think they are being authentic or not.
And sometimes I do think it's a bit hard to gauge the balance between the two selves. I did catch myself at some moments that I smile exceedingly just to maintain that image of myself, kind of suppress and reject the trait of being an introvert maybe. So sometimes the balance of that two selves just will get off.
Like, of course, like inventing Anna, right? Like only Anna knows whether she's being authentic or not. From an external party, sometimes I would meet people that shows inconsistent core values being demonstrated in his or her behavior. And they might be authentic, but then to me, it just appears that, hey, like it's a little bit hard to grasp and I don't even know who you are. And I think when I don't know who you are after, you know, a few engagement, it can appear that that person is not being very authentic, at least not every time you spend time with that person.
So for example, if someone goes by, it's all about being polite, it's all about spreading warmth and love, and inconsistently, that person in this different social setting might behave differently. So certain times, he or she would be super polite, super loving, super warm. And then there would be times when he or she would just be really rude. So you would then see that person as inauthentic because they went against what they verbally said of being nice and warm and polite. Is that how?
Yeah, but I'm not saying, it's just my perception. Like, they might be authentic 100%. Maybe they're just, you know, bipolar or something. But it would make me feel like they're not being authentic, and I would like distance myself from them. They might, you know, like experiencing so many things in their own lives, and that's why their behavior is so inconsistent. But I wouldn't further think of, oh, whether, you know, they're being authentic or not. Like, this is just a feeling that I have, like, from my engagement with you, and I need to decide whether to continue this relationship or not. It's more like a feeling. And it's the beauty of this discussion here. It's that sometimes I would feel very inauthentic when I'm being forced to do something that I don't want to, due to social construct, or, you know, maybe the social environment doesn't allow me to. As simple as, you know, like if you're having a disagreement with your partner in a party setting, and then you really want to go because you're about to cry, but then you don't want to make a scene and you have to stay. That would make me feel like I'm not acting in a way that I truly, truly want. But at the same time, I'm so glad that you guys flack that maybe because I haven't accepted that being uncomfortable is part of being authentic. And that's something that I need to work on.
We can look at someone's openness in their vulnerability to see whether they're authentic. I'm actually very impressed by one of my close friends here. She demonstrates how she balances out that two selves. So she told me, heads up, before my birthday dinner celebration, that she said, I have social anxiety. So if I have to leave earlier tonight, it's just because of me, because I get too overwhelmed with all the external noises and people around me. So I might need to go earlier. It's not about you. Or I got bored in the event. I'm telling you that so that I could leave without leaving you thinking about what's going on. And I think that communication, that heads up, actually helped us to have a safe space for her to be her authentic self. And at the same time, not sacrificing or compromising that adaptive self that might come across socially inappropriate. And I think that's the skills that people have to be actively acquire. Like what Viv said, people might sway in between belief systems when they are mingling with different groups. Yeah. Those people might be authentic, but it's just that they are so gullible by people around them. They don't have their very solid anchor in themselves or knowing their true self. And hence, they're inconsistent. Even maybe they just don't have that awareness of what do they really want.
And part of me thinking the reason why people might be inconsistent, or, you know, they're still searching on how to strike the best balance of being their authentic self. It might be the case that a lot of people would fall into the trap of needing someone else's reassurance, or they are so scared of being judged the wrong way. Maybe it's a trial and error. Maybe it's like a social experiment that they decided to do on themselves. You know, it's part of the shadow work of knowing how they feel after acting differently in different social settings so that they can find out more of what their likes and dislikes are.
From my personal experience, I do realize there's a switch between me being like as authentic as I am now, is that I accepted the fact that the way I approach the world was due to my past learning to let go of my authentic self in order to feel loved, in order to get the attention, you know, like from my primary caregivers or get approval from peers. And it's about really like unlearning those social expectations that you think you have on yourself and those internalized expectations. Because I do find myself like in certain situations now, when it comes to, you know, like interpersonal relationships, there's a lot of you should do this or it should appear in a certain way. How do you actively and how do you be so mindful to remove all those learnings that you have and then just be in tune with who you are and like, you know, your core values? I'm so impressed by Rita's sharing just now because your friend, it might seem very easy for her to, you know, give you a heads up. But if you really think about it, it requires, you know, a really strong sense of self-worth. She needs to have confidence in voicing out and safeguarding her boundaries. She's lucky to have you. Like, you responded in a way where it's so respectful and it brings you guys together closer. But there will be people that says, you're no fun, you're so boring. And I've met those people, it didn't feel good. So how do you accept, like, fully, like, this is who you are and not care about what other people think? I think that is really, really, really tough.
If you can be authentic, the outcome of it is you feeling good. So you need to try to practice this cycle more so that you feel good, like, more often, of being your authentic self. Some people might give you, like, a response that you might not think is nice. So, for example, saying something like, oh, you're so boring. You know what? So be it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's so be it. It really doesn't come easy, at least for me.
It doesn't really.
Yeah. Sure. Actually, in psychology, it is a traumatic experience for any child. The moment that they recognize that they need to be obedient of their parents, they need to conform into, like, certain types of rules at school, like, don't run in the hallway, like, don't eat in class. Like, those are traumatic experiences, believe it or not. And growing up, we already have those standards forced on us. And we didn't realize that, hey, like, now I have the power to set my own rules. Nobody told us that. Actually, research shows that when people conform to a certain social role, they do feel that they're being authentic because people accept them. They get, like, positive reinforcement. And that's why they keep doing it. They don't even recognize that it's against their own values. And from, like, an external party, you will never realize that because it's work that required them to do on their own, right? It's an interesting question to throw to us and to the audience. It's like, who you truly are. And that is very fluid. How you interact with the world and how do you make that decision, how you adapt to the social self, how you present in a way where you feel comfortable and the society feels comfortable. And that's really, like, contextual.
What Viv, you just mentioned about, say, at a really young age, we've learned to obey or follow rules. I guess the main reason behind would be that we need to learn how to discipline and actually work as a herd, you know, because we're like, if we want to have structure or certain security or certain lifestyle, I guess to a certain extent, we need to have that structure and we need to have that discipline in place. But I do agree with the point you said about unlearning things. So perhaps instead of saying that it's traumatizing to learn how to obey or how to accept the society are structured in a certain way, is that what kind of behaviors of ours that we think might not be right, that perhaps we can unlearn them? Because I think in a way, you know, learning discipline, learning structure has helped us a lot. For example, you know, you knowing that you need to have a shelter to live in, that's you having a structure to your life. Perhaps asking the audience and asking ourselves, what are the traits of ours at the moment that you wish you could unlearn so that you could feel more fulfilled and satisfied?
I do think it's a process of learning, though, because to be your authentic self, you have to know your true self first. You have to know your feeling and what is, what are your likes and dislikes. Like, thinking back retrospectively to my teenage time, I would say I didn't know. I don't have that answer. And that's why I couldn't be my authentic self, because I was gullible. I was just fitting in trends so that I would be liked in different social groups. And that is a process of learning by not feeling good. Yeah. Like, look into your emotions. If you're not feeling good, that's not really for you. So as cliche as it is, trust a process. It is a process that everyone has to go through. You couldn't know what you want right away when you were really young. It's a process to learn what your true self is and try to strike a balance, you know, in between your adaptive self and your authentic self.
It's actually very overwhelming. Like, in mental health, right? You unlearn, like, nobody's controlling over you anymore. And then you're like, darn it, now I have all the control. And darn it, I need to make the decision, like, who I want to be and how I can make use of, you know, my strength and what are my strengths. It's definitely, like, a long, long journey. Practicing mindfulness goes a long, long way. By being your true self, you will inspire others to be true to themselves as well. That's all for today's episode, How to Be Your True Self in a Society That Worships Fakeness. And that wraps up our season 3, Shaping Your Social Self. Thank you so much for sticking with us the entire time. And please be ready for our 4th season on building healthy relationships.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at @unlabelingeffect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.